You're listening to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the BetTheSI.com inside line, he covers the Rams for SB Nation. He's Joe McAtee. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, Pat? Bringing me on with the Jazzy Bill. That's a fire cut.
You owe all of that to one Jose Partida.
Well done, Jose.
Hey, buddy. So let's get started with your Rams. Aqib Talib hits IR, and Marcus Peters is, well, we don't really know. Well, what is the latest on Marcus Peters?
Yeah, so the last I saw, about 2 minutes ago, he was actually on the field starting to work through the calf strain that he has to see if he's going to be able to go. So he's going to be a game-time decision. Aqib Talib, like you mentioned, is on injured reserve, so he's a no-go. The Rams are still waiting for Mark Barron and Greg Zuerlein to come back, so they got a couple of injuries that are going to make this interesting.
Now, Barron's a guy who hasn't practiced much. What do you think? Is he more likely to play next week? I mean, what's going on with Mark Barron?
We'll have to see. So this week, this final practice yesterday was the first one that he got upgraded to limited participation. He had been a guy who had sat out of practice to that point all year. So he's still listed as doubtful for the game. He's not going to go tonight, but he's getting closer. I think the question at this point in his career, and given the variety of injuries he suffered through last year, what we're really dealing with here, and if this is something that's going to persist throughout the rest of his career and maybe call into question how much longer he's going to be able to go at all.
All right, if Peters can't go with Talib on IR, what are they doing in the backfield?
The good thing is the cornerback position doesn't look too bad on the depth chart. They've got Troy Hill, who played really well down the stretch last year and into the playoffs. So he's got some experience with Wade Phillips, the Rams defensive coordinator, in some really important game time. They've got Sam Shields, who came out of retirement to rejoin the Packers, to rejoin the Rams. Previously had been with the Packers and had some Pro Bowl seasons, really good cornerback, but given the concussions that he had, you know, this is one of those where you kind of hold your breath and see if this is going to be the good story that we all hope it is. And then they've got some depth with guys like Dominique Hatfield and even Blake Countess that they've played at cornerback before, along with Nickell Roby Coleman, who's the starting slot corner. So the depth chart overall doesn't look too bad. I think the thing you'd have to say is on a defense that's got Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, Michael Brockers, John Johnson, and LaMarcus Joyner, they should be able to deal with this better than most teams.
All right, let me ask you about something that I guess this has become – one of the media talking points for the last couple of weeks, and I'm not quite sure I understand it, but where did all this Jared Goff is just a system quarterback stuff come from, and why are people taking shots at a guy who's been nothing but great for a little over a year now?
Yeah, the answer to the first part is I don't know. I think this is one of those things that came out of the magical media cauldron that just spits out narratives for people to be able to get content. I don't really know. Last week on Wednesday, both Sean McVay and Jared Goff got asked the idea of whether he was a product of the system. The term system quarterback never really came up, but it's just kind of something that the internet was able to put together, and it ended up flying from there. I think the thing you're looking at is, number one, the surrounding cast for Jared Goff is really good. He's got Sean McVay as his head coach. Todd Gurley is his running back. He's got a phenomenal trio of wide receivers in Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods. And he's got what Pro Football Focus ranks the number one offensive line in the NFL this year. So I think it's one of those things where almost regardless of who the quarterback is, people would be looking at all those surrounding cast members and saying, look, this is a really good group to have around the quarterback. I think the second is just the nature of having a young quarterback that hasn't really had the best moments of his career yet. He's only started, I think, 25 regular season games. He's been in one playoff game. His career's still in front of him, and I think it's just one of those things where people don't know what to really say about Jared Goff, and that's kind of an easy way to get out of it, knowing how good everything around him is.
Yeah, I'm wondering, was Joe Montana a system quarterback? Because he had, like, Roger Craig, Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Dwight Clark, Freddie Solomon, you know, Bill Walsh, the whole West Coast. Was Joe Montana a system quarterback? Do we have to rewrite all of history?
Tom Brady's a really good system quarterback. He's a really good guy in that system.
You know, all those guys that he's had over, you know, he had Randy Moss. I mean,
system wide receiver.
Yeah, Deion Branch. And
system wide receiver.
Corey Dillon.
It's funny. It's one of those things where I get the idea that it's just meant to be demeaning, but I think in the end it's one of those things that we can all do better at in terms of explaining what's really going on. And at the bottom line, it's a young guy that's developing that I think most of us are excited to see keep playing football.
Now, a couple of years ago, well, I guess it's like 2 years ago, Todd Gurley was really struggling. He had a great rookie season, and in 2016, like nothing was there for him. And he was frustrated, and he voiced his frustration. And once the Rams got rid of Jeff Fisher, who was Captain Mediocrity, all of a sudden he's back to being Todd Gurley again. Is Todd Gurley right now legitimately the best running back in football?
I wouldn't have a problem saying that, but I'd say he might be the best at the running back position because of what he gives you in the passing game. If you looked at him last year, he was so valuable as a receiver, not only downfield, but in the screen game. And I think part of the credit you have to give, again, not saying he's a system running back, but the Rams upgraded that offensive line. They brought in Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. They added John Sullivan at center. And I think that really solidified things. And even this year, Austin Blythe came in replacement of Jamon Brown, who was suspended the first two games of the season, and has been absolutely phenomenal at right guard. And I think when you have an offensive line like that, it allows a running back to make the most out of his talents. And that's obviously what's happened for Todd Gurley the last year and a quarter. What's interesting is this year, we haven't seen the peak Todd Gurley game yet. Through three games, it's really been more about Jared Goff and the passing game. Tonight could be the right night for Todd Gurley to bust out and have one of those games that makes you question whether or not he could be the best running back in the league.
Yeah, and the funny part is the Rams were able to bring in Andrew Whitworth because the Cincinnati Bengals, who he'd been with his entire career, 11 years, said, you know what, you're really not that good. We're going to let you go.
Interesting decision, and it's one that you think the Rams probably deserve some credit for. Another one that's looking real interesting right now is the trade for Brandon Cooks. This is a guy who has seemingly been in this offense for way longer than he has been. He fit in immediately, and he's doing a lot of the things that Sammy Watkins didn't do for the Rams last year when they had traded for him with a second-round pick. So between those two moves, you got to give Les Snead, the Rams general manager, a lot of credit. He's put together a really, really good roster, and not just doing it through the draft, but acquiring some veteran guys that can come in and immediately play high-level football.
You know, Robert Woods, when he first got drafted by the Bills in 2013, came out of USC. He was one of the top wide receiver prospects coming out in that draft, and it didn't come together in Buffalo. Now, of course, Buffalo is to offense as the NFL is to 1936, but you know, he seem to find a role on the team. He's not showing himself to be like this like great number one receiver, but he's showing himself to be a solid role player in this offense. And you mentioned Brandon Cooks and Todd Gurley, who's just all walk. You know, I started covering Todd Gurley his freshman year at Georgia, so you know I'm all on the Todd Gurley train. But you know, and then Cooper Kupp has been pretty good, too. I mean, there's a guy that I don't think anybody really thought much of. He's a third-round pick, and the guy had a pretty good season last year. Really came on towards the end of the year, and he continues to be consistent. And sometimes I think consistency can be a little better than, like, just obscene talent. Because when you have a guy who's really talented but has the dropsies, that could kill you in a game. He's consistent. He's always there and somehow always makes a play when Goff needs him to.
And what's interesting in terms of the consistency with all these guys is the reliance that you have on being able to go to them, whether it's third down, whether it's week to week. And that's really alluding to what the strength of this offense is, and it's the variety. You have the defenses have to take Brandon Cook seriously every play. They have to take Robert Woods seriously every play. They have to take Cooper Kupp seriously every play, and they have to take Todd Gurley seriously every play. And when you've got that much variety in the hands of Sean McVay and a quarterback who's got the skills that Jared Goff does, it's just too hard to cover everybody every single play. You got a sense of that last week. It was Goff's best game as an NFL quarterback. if it weren't for a fumble by Todd Gurley on the first drive and a pretty weird interception later on in the end zone on a misconnected play between Goff and his tight end Gerald Everett, the Rams could have been perfect through their first seven drives, where they would have had four touchdowns, a field goal as time expired in the first half, and two touchdowns coming out of the second half. It's really pretty scary if you think about the idea that they could put all of this together in a game and what that could mean going forward.
How much trouble are they in if something were to happen to Goff?
Pretty big trouble. Pretty big trouble, because the backup, Sean Mannion, has been, what's the right term to put this? Not a fan favorite over the years. When Jeff Fisher got fired, Eric Dickerson actually made some comments that the Rams should look into starting Sean Mannion, and there was a bit of a movement to look into that from the fans. But once Sean Mannion got some opportunities in the preseason and even late in the season last year in a Week 17 game against the 49ers when the Rams rested their starters ahead of the playoffs, Mannion hasn't looked good. And he just, even now into year four, if we're talking about Jared Goff being a product of the system, that's not something that you can afford as a compliment to Sean Mannion, because he hasn't looked right for the system, even in his own right. And so I think right now the thought of losing Jared Goff is really scary, because of everything they've done everywhere else on the roster. They haven't really put in much effort to finding a backup quarterback, and I think that might be the nightmare scenario for the Rams, is if they have to really go to one.
Joe, with the – and I know you had mentioned that in the – defensive secondary, they have some depth that a lot of other teams don't have. But when you look at that team and the strength they have up, you know, their front seven, particularly on the line, is there now a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more push, a little bit more immediacy on the Rams defense and on Darnold? I'm sorry, on Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
You know, on that, on him, on Ndamukong Suh, on Michael Brockers, on these guys to really get after the quarterback, because they're down a couple of, you know, they're top corners.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there needs to be, right? I mean, when you get a guy injured, it's obviously next man up for the replacement. But you know from your veteran starters and your key starters elsewhere, they need to step up their game. And that's certainly true for Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, Michael Brockers. It's going to be true for LaMarcus Joyner and John Johnson as the two safeties at the back of the defense. It's also going to require a little bit more from the linebackers. We knew coming into the season that was the weakest point on the roster on the defense, if only because you had stars everywhere else. To this point, the linebackers have held their own, but really not looked like a group that you would be comfortable relying on in big game situations. So that might be a group that I'd look at and say maybe they need to step up. There's not much more that Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh can do. They've been tenacious all season. They maybe haven't put up the numbers people might assume they would, but that's mainly because, A, opposing offenses are passing the ball really quickly so that they don't have to deal with them, and then, B, there's been a ton of holding calls that the two have been able to generate. So they're not putting up the sacks or the QB hits, the tackles for loss, but a lot of that's from factors that they can't contain because they've been so tenacious and teams are prepared for that. What teams aren't preparing for maybe is the linebackers, and the Rams probably need them to show that maybe they need to be a reason why.
Joe McAtee covers the Rams for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at 3K underscore. That's it. Nice, short, sweet, at 3K underscore. Joe McAtee with SB Nation. Joe, appreciate your time today. Thanks for all the great info. We'll catch up with you soon, buddy.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right, Joe McAtee with us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code NATION25. Get a $25 free wager today. Get all the plays on the Inside Line. BetDSI.com.